Hello everyone and welcome to this webinar today. I'm Francis Seeley from GlobalNet 21 and a local group Enfield Voices. And this is one of the regular webinars today. And today we've got with us Sangeeta Waldron. Now Sangeeta is a remarkable lady. She's done a lot of things in her life already. And she'll tell us about that, I'm sure, as we go along. But she's very interested in corporate social responsibility, a term that many people are quite suspicious of. And I think she'll talk about the suspicions she has and what she thinks ought to happen in companies. So Sangeeta, you know, welcome in joining us today, and it's great to have you. Maybe we could start by asking you very briefly, because you've got a long CV and you could talk a whole program about it, but very briefly, just tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. Well, thank you, Francis, for inviting me to have this conversation with you. And it's also nice when you do things that are local, so you just feel more part of a community. So, yes, I've been in public relations media work for over 30 years now. I've worked in very different types of organisations. I started off my career writing for speeches for a previous prime minister and ministers. And believe it or not, there's just so much creativity you can do with a minister's speech. And I felt I wanted to do a little bit more creative work. So I left the Cabinet Office and I went to go and work for a very small not-for-profit organisation, which at that time was doing amazing work in the developing world. And we were working on all the things we're talking about today. This was in the early 90s, climate change, endangered species, water scarcity. And that was my first entry into PR and media work. And then from there, I went on and I was very lucky to work for some great organizations. I was the first global director of comms for the Economist Group, working directly with the CEO at that time. Worked for the Mayor of London when Trafalgar Square was launching, worked on that project, which was fantastic. And then in 2009, I set up my own PR agency called Serendipity PR and Media.
Okay, can we talk about that as we go along? But can we just go back a bit, because you said you had wrote speeches when you were in the Cabinet Office for a previous UK Prime Minister and ministers. You want to tell us just a little bit about that, because that's quite interesting.
Yes, so when I came out of university, the country was in a recession and it was very difficult to find work. I really wanted to get into advertising and be a copywriter. So I actually sat the civil service entrance exam and got through. And that's how I spent my first 5 years of my career. And it was amazing. I was working in the hub of government, writing parliamentary questions, briefings for select committees. And I was working on different kinds of topics, from deregulation. So deregulating different industries, to health and safety of the nuclear plants here in the UK. So at that, I had the fortune or misfortune, I don't know which one you'd call it, but I went and actually visited some of the nuclear plants, which was very, which was amazing to see and experience. So yes, and I was working in the heart of government. It was very exciting. I had a great career. But it's not exactly what I set out to do.
Okay. I mean, that will make another webinar entirely on its own. It might be interesting doing that. And you work for all these other organizations you mentioned. You also worked with World Health Organization, didn't you? The United Nations. I don't know how you got all this in your life, but you seem to have worked with a lot of organizations. Have you had a particular focus on all these? Is there a sort of overriding interest that you have that you brought to all those organizations?
Yes. So most of those organizations were first-time roles. So I was setting up the media and the press teams for those organizations. But I think what I also brought to it, and it's something that I've carried through throughout my career and when I've set up my own agency is what I call PR with heart. And, you know, when I started off my career working with some of these big organizations, corporate social responsibility wasn't understood. People didn't really understand what it was. Oh, is it, it's something that makes employees feel good. So maybe it should sit in human resources, or, you know, maybe PR knows what to do with it. It never really was understood. And I've worked also with lots of charities where they've worked with big corporates, and the corporates would say they've got a corporate social responsibility agenda. They have a whole strategy, but really it was just a tick box exercise. And it was that, it was understanding there is a difference between the two.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll ask you about that in a minute, but, you know, these are big organisations, national organisations, but you're also local, aren't you?
Yes.
You live in Enfield and you're a writer in Enfield.
Yes. So corporate social responsibility now has really come into its own. And I think while the pandemic has affected us and we've had to live these very strange times and we're still living them and they've been hard, at the same time, the pandemic has accelerated this interest in corporate social responsibility, and businesses, all types of businesses, big, small, established, new, are now really understanding that they need corporate social responsibility, what we'll call CSR, at the heart of their brand. And it's very important for small businesses because small businesses are the heart of the community and they create local economics, they create jobs. And now what we're finding is employees, the next generation of talent, only want to work with those organizations, those small businesses that are purpose-led. So it's important for all kinds of businesses.
Yeah, I mean, I think locally, the importance of social enterprises and small and medium-sized companies are quite important. What you do is clearly relevant to them. But you call your company Serendipity PR Media, and you say you believe in the power of serendipity. Now, I find that interesting because serendipity is one of my favorite words. Now, how does it relate to business?
Oh, on so many levels. I think when you are serendipitous, when you're open to be an open networker, you can create more possibilities and more opportunities for your business. I think if we're a closed networker and we don't think, oh, well, because so-and-so is a baker, there's no synergy between my business, so I'm not going to be open to that connection. You close down that opportunity. And that is what serendipity is all about. Is opportunities that come our way and just being open to them. When we're closed, we close that door completely. So, and I can, you know, throughout my career, throughout, and also since I've been running my agency, the amount of serendipitous connections that have come my way just because of being open. And social media forces us also to be open networkers.
Yeah, networking is open to serendipity in a way that hierarchical institutions are not, and they become the sort of fuel, don't they? And you now, haven't you? You've just written your second book, which is Corporate Responsibility is Not Public Relations, and you mentioned that. And if you want to, you can show us it.
There's a copy of the book.
Okay.
Corporate Social Responsibility is Not Public Relations.
And tell us why you wrote it.
Well, it's to do with everything my career that I've experienced and all the research I've been sort of looking at. And I wrote it at the start of 2020. And I don't know whether you'll remember at that time last year, we were just watching all the bushfires in Australia. That's how we started 2020. We didn't start with the actual pandemic. And then, you know, March came along and that's when everyone's world was turned upside down. But when I was watching the bushfires, I was thinking there must be a way to help people, businesses particularly, think about their relationship with the local community that they're operating in and also their relationship with the planet. Because we know we are on this needle now. We've got 10 years to shift this climate crisis. And if businesses are joined up in their thinking and we as consumers are demanding better from business, then maybe we can just shift that needle.
You're concerned, aren't you, that a lot of companies don't do that. In fact, that they sort of feign interest and responsibility to improve what you might call their bottom line, greenwashing, in other words. Yeah. Were you writing as well to sort of expose that?
I have got in my book, I do talk about those organisations and brands that we've all probably heard of who greenwash, who do fake CSR. But there's actually a lot of businesses and brands that are doing some fantastic work. And this pandemic has actually shown some of these brands and businesses that have done actually better than governments in producing PPE, when of producing hand sanitizer, when we were at the desperate need of some of these things that governments couldn't even sort of rustle up. So this pandemic has shown us that brands can do better. Brands have also realized they have this responsibility to local communities. And also during the pandemic, we've seen this rise of conscious consumers, and particularly from the next generation, that are demanding businesses to do better. And just very quickly, there is a survey that came out earlier this year in spring, by the Zeno Group, that they did a big survey with 8,000 people from 8 different regions of the world: India, Malaysia, UK, US, France, Canada. I think that's, if I've forgotten any, but there were 8 countries. And 76% of people who took part in that survey said they wanted to see businesses do better. If they didn't, they would vote for their wallet and go elsewhere. And they also wanted to see, 75% wanted to see the business leaders of those brands actually walk the talk. And if they didn't, they would take their loyalty as elsewhere. So we can see that corporate social responsibility isn't a trend. It's here, and it's here to stay.
Yeah, I mean, I did a webinar a while ago with Keller that Anthony Fisher has set up in Enfield. And it's a green company, its supply chains are as green as they can make it be. And his argument is that, you know, if you're not sustainable, you know, in the end, you're going to go out of business. You'll either be legislated out or consumers won't go to you. And I think that's a point you make up, isn't it? If you feign social responsibility, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Oh, absolutely. And also, we know we're living in the age of the internet. If you are faking your corporate social responsibility, you'll be found out. There is nowhere to hide, and people will call you out on it. And we've seen it happen many, many times. And we're also living in what we call this cancel culture, which I talk about in the book. So brands are also now under the spotlight, and they realize they can't get away with some of the stuff that they have been doing. And so, yes, you know, there is, people are really understanding there is a difference between corporate social responsibility, which should be authentic, and it needs to be built into the heart of the business strategy. It doesn't lead the PR. PR doesn't lead the corporate social responsibility. CSR is leading the comms. It's leading the business strategy. That way, you actually are more profitable, and you won't find you're then having to deal with crisis management.
I mean, you talk a lot in your book, I think, about authenticity as being really important for companies. What do you mean by authenticity?
Well, also, just as you were asking me this question, I was also thinking being authentic also goes back to being serendipitous. So when you're authentic, when you're real, when you are honest about your brand, when you're honest about your supply chain, when you're honest about the relationship and the way you operate within your local community, that is all part of being authentic. An authentic story is the heart of every brand, whether you're big, small, established, new. Trust, authentic is also feeds into trust. And we want to be able to trust businesses. If we don't trust businesses, we're going to shop elsewhere. And we can see that time and time again in what we're reading. And also, you said something earlier, we're seeing now more legislation coming in demanding from brands and businesses to be authentic with their green commitments. And also now very recently, the Advertising Agency Authority here in the UK has said those brands that are misleading the public on greenwashing will be fined. And France has also brought in the same kind of regulations.
You gave a couple of examples, didn't you, in your book, probably more than a couple of examples, about companies that have not been authentic and who have been greenwashing. I mean, do you want to give us just a couple of examples that you have noticed? I've read what you've written, but it'd be nice if you could talk about that.
Sure. Well, I think last year we can all remember Boohoo.com. We had just gone into the first lockdown here in the UK. And we found out that A, they had their workers in very terrible working conditions. They weren't socially distanced. And also these workers were not being paid the minimum wage. And, you know, yet Boohoo.com had these sort of initiatives on its website, which we now know they were just, it was just a load of PR spin. They were just greenwashing us. Other examples we have of Burger King creating the vegan burger, selling it to people who don't want to eat meat, but yet the burger has been cooked alongside the meat products. So again, they weren't being sincere with their offering. So there's quite a few examples like that. Or organizations that want to do the right thing kind of jump onto the bandwagon without really understanding what they're saying and what they're doing. And one good example is McDonald's. So they replaced the plastic straw with the paper straw. But what we found is that the paper straw cost more to recycle and couldn't be recycled. So they kind of jumped onto something without really understanding how they were going to implement it. So again, that's all part of this tick box exercise.
Yeah, that's difficult to say. you mentioned earlier, quite rightly, we're in the time of climate change, and that is an emergency. That's critical. We've got to do something quickly. So, I mean, is corporate social responsibility for companies about looking at how they can do things differently, not just about what they say, about how they can move, for example, towards a circular economy where they produce, use and recycle rather than produce, use and waste?
Absolutely. I think we also heard the Prime Minister say this week, in fact, it's not just about recycling plastic, it's about reducing our consumption of plastic. And one of the things just I want to say on that, in the book, I have collected 15 stories from global thought leaders, from change makers from around the world who give their honest opinion and how they've been working with corporate social responsibility and how they've been implementing it within their business. So it's very important now for businesses to think about everything. It's about who they're buying from, their supply chain. People want to see authentic supply chains. Also, your packaging. What kind of packaging are you using? I've recently come across this great ethical tea company, UK tea company, and from everything they do, corporate social responsibility is baked into their brand. So from the tea, from their supply chain, to the packaging, to the labels they put out on their boxes, to how they post it and send it, everything is thought through. So there's less waste. They're not recycling. If they do, I mean, you know, the packaging can be recycled. They're not just creating extra waste for the sake of it. So everything is thought through, and organizations will have to do that because we only have limited resources as well.
Okay. You mentioned in your answer there that you have you've interviewed or you've talked about 15 inspirational people. People like, I think, David Katz of Plastic Bank, Lois Acton, who worked with Anita Roddick, and so on. How important is it to tell stories, to get a message across to the general public and to businesses as well, to make an emotional connection, not just a rational one?
It's a really good question. And, you know, stories, I believe, are part of our DNA. all humans like a good story. It's something we've all, our ancestors have, you know, all grown up with stories, and stories connect us to what's happening. So I wanted to really inspire people through the book. So I collected all types of interviews. So not just with some of the biggest organizations, but also with some of the smaller businesses, some people who are solo entrepreneurs who are doing great things, to young entrepreneurs starting out who want to have and create sustainable businesses. So there is a story in there for everyone, and some really powerful stories. And one just very quickly is somebody who is a political counselor in LA, and he's a business person as well. And he has set up an organization to help young LA kids escape gang culture. He lost a lot of his friends growing up to gang culture. This is something we're now experiencing here, sadly, in the UK, but just how he's used his own personal story to create an improved environment where he's living. So I think stories are very, very, can be very inspiring, and they stay with us.
Also, I guess mentoring and training is also important as well. And I guess it's got to be global as well as local. I was asked to speak at a meeting in the House of Lords on Monday by an initiative called Freedom E, which came from Brazil. And they're trying to set up globally a collaborative circular economy set up, where they try to get companies involved and then provide mentoring and training to move them towards that. So at one level, global things like that are important, aren't they? And the other level, working locally in networks of local companies is also important as well.
Oh, absolutely. I always say nothing is local anymore. Everything's global. But at the same time, we need to be sustainable in our own communities. That's because climate is changing. Things are becoming more difficult just to import, we've seen recently. I think now, you know, local, we really have to focus on our own communities rather than just importing. We need to be more sustainable with our food production, with our connections, and not forget our local communities. But at the same time, I think this pandemic has shown us that we're all so connected. So while, you know, things unfolded in China, we never thought that here sitting in Enfield, we'd be in a lockdown and sort of living our lives like we have been. So yeah, we're very connected around the world, but community does play a big role in that.
Okay, so in a local community like our own, or any local community, if we wanted to get businesses involved in being more responsible in developing circular economy ideas, what's the best way of going about it? How do we establish the network to do that? Do you have any advice on that?
I think, first of all, to encourage businesses to come forward and really think about their corporate social responsibility. A lot of businesses lots of small businesses have thought that CSR is not for them. They're too small for it. And, you know, how do they start? How many things do they need to do? It's just starting with one thing, and that one thing can be your passion. And that could be part of your CSR initiative if you're a small business. But it's really understanding, creating that conversation with small businesses, creating a forum like this, and bringing people together, and where they share, where other local businesses can learn from each other. And then you can have that connection. You can all join the dots. And also it's about supply chains. You know, if one business is doing something really well and they've got a good supply chain and another business is struggling, it's about that, creating those opportunities and joining and knowing that there is room for everyone. You know, there is, you know, everyone will have a good business going if we are more connected and we can share our knowledge and our wisdom and our connections.
So is making those connections the art of networking the networks? You know, having a network like we have MPhil Climate Action Forum, working with a network like Enterprise Enfield, who are also very interested in encouraging sustainable businesses, and trying to get people together in the way you say, to act as an engine, if you like, to drive other companies to do the same.
Yes, I mean, we could have network after network after network, but really all those networks have to be working together. And you're absolutely right, it's an engine room. And then that engine is powering all these other arms, and then people feel empowered and people feel they know what they're doing. I think lots of businesses just don't know how to start or where to start. And that CSR is just for some of the big organizations. It's not. It's for all of us. And it's also for us as consumers. You know, we as consumers should be demanding better from business. And the bottom line is businesses just need to know they need to be acting better, doing far better than they have been for the planet.
So it's about mentoring, in a way. But first of all, it's about connection, isn't it? Making the connections, creating the networks, providing the backup support, the mentoring, the training, and getting people to help each other. It's a sort of, you know, it's a mutual aid process, which is really, really important, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes businesses might think, well, you know, we don't want to work with another hairdressers, or we don't want to work with another cafe. But I always think of this. I remember walking down, I was in New York, walking down, I don't know, whatever street it was, and there was coffee shop after coffee shop after coffee shop, all in a row. And they weren't competing, because each coffee shop was thriving. They were all full. They had people in there. And I think it's the same principles that... there are enough customers out there for everyone, irrespective if you all belong to one sector. It's just about if we connect, we can do better. And when we are connected, we're more powerful.
Yeah, I think people use the term collaborative competition for that, don't they? Which I think is a really good term. I mean, what about the role of the local authority in that? The problem sometimes when you work with the local authority is they tend to want to take control. They want to be the prime mover. But the essence of partnerships, the essence of networks, is that you're all equal together. And that's an important message, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, yes, we can see local authorities, we can even see central government sometimes being a hindrance rather than, you know, something that's positive. But I do think this pandemic is showing different organisations, different types of bodies, that how things need to be joined together and be collaborating and not at odds. Because when things are at odds, nothing's changing, nothing's moving forward. And I again, you know, we've got COP26 coming up in less than what, 4 or 5 days now. And I think there is now this will that different organizations, whether you're a local authority, now need to be far more engaged with local communities and make things happen.
Do you think all the things that have happened recently, the droughts, the wildfires, the flooding and so on, and COP26 coming on, has created a sea change in attitudes and awareness and a desire to do something? And that's impacted on businesses as well as everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, I think unless you've been living under a rock, you know, you know that climate change is real. That it's not fake news, and in some parts of the world, they, you know, I had a Zoom webinar today, and there was a point I made in India, where people are probably not as educated in some of the villages than people are here. They understand climate change because they're facing it with drought, famine, severe heat. They understand climate change. Here in the West, with our education, with all our knowledge, watching the news, some of us are still in denial about climate change because we haven't yet experienced extreme heat, water scarcity, famine. But those things are real. And those things, if you don't think are going to happen to us, they will. I'm really hoping that we have this change. People are now more aware of plastic pollution. People are aware of being, you know, recycling. But I still think there's a discrepancy in society where maybe it's still a middle class thinking or thought, because people living in inner cities or in the north are facing very different challenges. So I think we're not completely joined up. I think more of us are aware of what's happening. But I still think we've got a way to go.
But I mean, you talk about people in inner cities and so on. And so it's very important, isn't it, when you're talking about climate change, to talk about climate justice, where people who are poor are going to be the worst affected very often. Do you think businesses realise that as well? That, you know, if they don't, you know, confront the whole of society, not just those who buy their goods, then they're going to suffer in the long run.
I think some businesses do. Since I've written the book, I've come across all sorts of amazing people. And I think some businesses, there is lots of social enterprises that have started to, you know, come up, and they understand. I think some people don't understand it yet, but they want to be informed. But I think these kinds of conversations haven't really come to the forefront yet. They're kind of happening, but I don't think they're not on the national news agenda yet. And we need to have these conversations, you know, being mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And I hope that's something we try and do. And you obviously do that as well. And that's very important. We sort of come to the end of our 30 minutes because it goes very quickly. So, I mean, if anybody wanted to find out more about what you do, your book, or get contact you in any way, how would they go about it?
Oh, lots of ways. I mean, I'm an open networker. So my name is Sangeeta Waldron. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. Where else? Instagram. If you just Google my name, the book will come up. Serendipity PR is my agency. So there's different ways to find me. I'm not hiding.
No, I can see you're not hiding. But thank you for doing that, because I think the messages you've given are really important. And you explained the problem, but you do also explain that there is hope if you can create those networks, get people together and try and spread the message and get people to understand it's everyone in society, from the poorest to the richest, from the city to the rural areas, everywhere, that's going to be ultimately affected by climate change. And corporate social responsibility has to confront that, is a real, real issue. So, you know, thank you for doing the interview with us today. And I'm sure we'll do other things with you in the future, because you have a lot to say, you've had a lot of experience and you have a lot of knowledge. And that's a great thing to have in the time that we live today. So, Sangeeta, thank you for joining us.
No, thank you, Francis, for inviting me. And yes, I mean, I would love to help Enfield sort of really move the needle on this, because I really feel we don't have a lot of time to make the change. And I'm thinking of the next generation. I don't want to have that blood on my hands.
Okay, well, I'm sure that, you know, we will do a lot more in Enfield in the future. And, you know, I hope you'll be involved, because it'll be great to have you on board.
No, I'd love to. Yeah. I really would. I want to put money where my mouth is.
Okay, well, we'll find a way of doing that for sure. Well, anyhow, thank you very much for doing it.
It's a pleasure.
Okay, and we'll end this interview now.